Once a month, we get to talk with the folks from Arts Altoona, and that is represented by Donna Gordy. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning, Doug. Thanks for having us.
Certainly. And as usual, we have a guest today. And Donna, if you would introduce who our guest is.
Sure. Our guest today is Olivia Steele. We first got to know Olivia a bit when she was an AmeriCorps worker, a member with the Altoona Area School District, and partnering with Arts Altoona. And she was working on the murals project at the Teen Center. And our AmeriCorps member, Leah Clavan, got to know her a bit, and we've become aware that Olivia is quite an artist, and we'll talk more about her art as we go along, but she came to us in an employed capacity with our learning pods. So Olivia is our monitor in the learning pods area and works with the young people to make sure that they're online and doing their class situations when they are virtual, and then doing their homework as follow-up, and then she has creative activities for them to do in between all their classwork and homework and that sort of thing. So we think she has a created a very positive environment there to stimulate the young people and have them get introduced to some various forms of art. So it's my pleasure to introduce you all today to Olivia Steele.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Well, aside from that, I guess you're not doing much, huh?
At the moment, I'm drawing in a sketchbook because Leah's downstairs with the kids, so I could be in a quiet room. So I figure I'll draw a few sketches while I'm on the phone with you guys.
What does it do for somebody who is interested in art to be able to sit there, whether it's something like this or multitasking, doing a few other things, but while you've got some downtime to be able to work on a sketch, what does that do as far as it's a stress reliever, or is it stimulate what you're doing otherwise?
I think it's kind of both for me. So I'm actually in the process of wanting to start my own like art type of business and website. So whenever I have free time, I draw in my sketchbook. So that way I have more to post and design for my website. So hopefully be able to sell more eventually.
How many?
But it's also a good stress reliever as well.
So yeah, okay.
A little bit of both.
How many sketchbooks do you think you've filled over the years?
Honestly, I have never filled a single sketchbook because I get really stressed out whenever, like, the book itself gets really worn down. So I start stuff, and then the book itself, like, the pages get ripped and stuff like that. And I'm like, okay, well, I need a new one because this one's getting destroyed. And so I've never actually filled one. So right now I have like 30 drawings in this one, and it's the most drawings I've ever had in a single sketchbook. So now I'm determined to draw on every single page, but this is the first one I'll ever finish, actually.
When you say 30 pages, how many pages are available in these books that you get?
Probably 160. So I have a while to go.
You know, it's not quite the same thing, but it's sort of, it almost strikes me as you've got 25 books that you started reading. You got 75% of the way through the book and just put it down and started reading a different one.
Yes, that's pretty much exactly what it's like for me all the time.
But why do you think you do that? I mean, you kind of explained it, but I mean,
I think it's just that, like, I like having a very, like, clean surface in front of me. So whenever I start to have a bunch of pages that, like, might have slight tears or scribbles, or, like, I'll write, if I need to, like, remember something, I'll write it on, like, a blank page of my sketchbook. And then it gets to a point where I'm like, okay, a lot of these pages aren't drawings. They're just, like, little notes that I wrote myself. So, no, I don't want this one because it's not just all drawings. So I've been trying really hard to keep this one, like, strictly drawings. That way I don't have, like, a bunch of messy different pages and I can just keep it cleaner. But I think that's my main reason, is I like to have like a very clean area. And whenever I start to scribble in my sketchbooks, I just don't want to use it anymore because I don't like how many scribbles are in it.
And how's that working out for you on this book so far?
It's going a lot better on this one.
Now, first off, I'm wondering, do you ever look back on the books to get inspiration for what you're doing, or say, you know, I started this like 3 years ago, but now I've got a much better idea of how I want to do it? Or do you look back and can you tell what you were going through at the time based on how messy it is?
Sometimes. A lot of my old sketchbooks were from college. I was an art student in college too, so a lot of them have, like, I took a woodworking class, so my one sketchbook is filled with different woodworking designs. So I don't really look at it just for the fact that I do nothing with woodworking anymore. So I don't really have any reason to look at it. But I have a few sketchbooks that I do look back on. Like I've had different tattoo designs and that type of thing. So I like to sometimes look at back at those and just see what I once envisioned as something and then be like, wow, that is not what I would ever envision now. So it is neat to go back and look at my old stuff and be like, okay, I've really grown in this way, or I completely forgot about this one and I wish I would have followed up with it. So maybe now I can do something. But I have an art studio in my house. So it's, I can keep them all in like one area, which is nice, instead of them being just like in a pile. They're all neatly like laid out on a table. So it is neat to be able to just kind of find them easily and easy accessible.
Okay, you mentioned something. We have to go on a slight tangent here. You had designs for tattoos, because by its very nature, a tattoo is kind of permanent. So if you're thinking of, oh, this would be a good design when you're 20 and then you're 25 and you look back, what was I thinking? Maybe it's just as well you didn't get it. But also, if you look at something that's going to be with you the rest of your life, how do you how do you decide on that? Because you have tattoos, I would.
So, I do.
Yeah.
Yes. It is funny because I wanted a tattoo from my whole life. I remember my mom, like, whenever I got my first one, she was like, yeah, I knew this was probably coming at some point. I just didn't know when. And now I have multiple. But even before I ever got my first one, I would look at designs and stuff. And looking back on like what I used to want whenever I was even a teenager, I would never want those things now. But now the tattoos that I have, I'm like, okay, I love these. I could have them for the rest of my life, which I have to. But then sometimes I'm like, oh no, what if something happens and I don't want these anymore? Which so far, so good. I don't have a tattoo that I like severely regret or anything like that. But it does cross my mind sometimes, just looking back at old designs and old ideas, that I'm just like, oh no.
You don't,
I hope this doesn't happen with what I have on my arm now, because it's not going anywhere.
You don't have regrets, and luckily you also don't have regrets or something, like the TV
exactly.
commercial.
Exactly. No regrets, for sure.
it's just when people... And not everybody is into the idea of tattoos. I think it's more accepted now than it was, say, 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's the permanence of it, I think, that maybe throws some people, because once you have at least something there, you've always got something there, unless you want to go through a painful process of getting it removed. Some people will just do one small tattoo for some symbolic reason. Others others see it as art. You're more into seeing it as art?
I think I'm a bit of both, because I have my whole arm is done on one of my arms. And I never wanted I do have some random tattoos, but they're not my ones that you can like see all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But on my arm, I did want it to be more of a symbolic type of thing. So I have two portraits that are both of my grandparents. I have flowers, but they are my family's like birth month flowers. So I have my dad, my mom, both of my siblings, all of my grandparents, and then my one uncle. So it's, even though it just looks like flowers to other people, to me, I know that they do mean something. I have an art palette that I actually drew myself, that my tattoo artist like put on for me. On my other arm, that on my wrist, I have my grandma's name, and then I have their handwriting. It was my grandma and my papa's handwriting from that I found in their Bibles from like them taking notes. And then I have my uncle's handwriting from a birthday card that he wrote me. So even though it's like very artistic to me, and it took me a long time to figure out exactly how I wanted it placed and what I wanted, it is still symbolic almost.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know, I'm kind of a weird mix, because I do really like the artistic feel of it, but I also really like the symbolic part of it. So it's, I'm an in-between on that one.
The symbolics is interesting there. Now, the other thing I've noticed is some people seem to be doing it in stages, where they've got the design, but it's not colorful. It's just the outline, and eventually they have that filled in if you're doing like a sleeve. Is that's what it's
mm-hmm.
called?
Yes.
Yeah. Is that something that that you plan to do, or?
Well, with my sleeve on my arm, I got all of the outlines done in one day, except for like I maybe had two or three already on my arm. And then I went to my tattoo artist and was like, okay, I want this whole thing. And he's like, do you want it all in one day? And I said, yeah, if I can handle it, sure. Yeah. And so I got all of the outlining done, which took about 2-ish hours, I believe. And then about a month later, I got all of the shading done. So making it look more like, I mean, shaded. Yeah, is the right word for it. And I got all of that done in one day. So I only went through 2 stages. Other people just get a bunch of little tattoos at a time and then just slowly make a sleeve. It just, I think it depends on the purpose, like the person and their pain tolerance as well, because I personally think I have a decently high pain tolerance whenever it comes to that type of stuff. Like I can sit there for a few hours and it doesn't bother me. But for other people, I know, like my one friend in college, she has a few tattoos and they're very tiny. And by the end of it, she's like, I need out of here. And I was like, it's 5 minutes. What do you mean? I can sit for 2 hours. And she just can't handle that type of thing. So I think it depends on the person, on what they prefer and what they can handle, too.
Well, also, not just the pain tolerance, but I'm thinking the attention span. Because
we,
heaven knows, over the past 20 years, we seem to have lesser attention spans. Thank you, MTV and everything else. But at the same time, it's work and it's art, and you're not going to get it in 2 seconds.
Right.
Or what's the point?
And I think some people don't realize that with tattoos, is that it takes a lot more of a process than to just like draw it up really quick. And you want to make sure it's done right too. So people like, I bring my phone and stuff so I can play on my phone. And since I've gone to my tattoo artist quite a few times, I can like sit and talk to him as well. I agree that other people don't have the attention span to sit there for 2 hours and they just want to be over and done with. And so I think you do need to like find a way to either talk to someone or distract yourself, because if not, it does get kind of boring just sitting there staring at a wall for 2 hours.
Yeah, it's staring at the phone. Welcome to the modern era. We're talking with Olivia Steele, who is a guest of Arts Altoona, and Donna Gordy with us today. With this, we're not going to do the whole hour on tattoos. It's just I find it interesting. It's an art form. I have no interest in having it done. I have witnessed friends have it done. And I'm thinking, well, okay, if this is what you want, fine. It's artistic, but not something personal. But I'm just kind of interested in the art behind it. And because, you know, the stereotype is, well, the drunken sailor on shore leave decides to get something and they're stuck with it the rest of their life. And that's so stereotypically wrong. So,
yeah, I agree.
Well, Will, just quickly, is this when you designed this, is this something that you would be interested in pursuing to do for other people, not be a tattoo artist, but design things, or is it just something personal?
I typically only do it personally. If my best friend came to me and like wanted something done, then it'd be different. But I really am not like I think tattoo artists don't get enough credit for how much they need to sketch out and like lay out before they actually do the tattoo work as well. Because even whenever I designed mine, I still had to send it to the tattoo artist and have him really get the technicality of it and the layout and know that it was going to look like the design was going to look okay on my arm. And so for someone to come to me and say, can you draw me my whole like arm sleeve or whatever they need, I usually tell them I'll give you like a rough idea of what you would want, but you really want to talk to your artist first because they could have a better idea of the layout of your arm and what's actually going to be feasible in a tattoo than because it's a lot easier to blend colors and stuff on a piece of paper than it probably isn't an arm. I mean, I don't know that for sure, but I would assume that it is a lot different putting ink in someone's arm than it is putting ink on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
So I don't want anyone to come to me and be like, can you design this entire tattoo? And I want it to look exactly like this whenever it goes on my arm, because I just don't think I have the specialty in that. And so I always tell them, I'll give you a rough sketch to give to your artist if you don't know how to like put it from your mind onto paper, because I can do that. But if your artist changes something, then you need to be okay with it as well.
Yeah, I don't, and people have to understand that the tattoo artist is not some guy just walking off a street and doing that in 5 minutes. That takes a lot of
Absolutely.
Study to be able to do that. We're talking
it takes a lot of practice. You have to go through apprenticeships. Like, it takes a lot to really be a successful tattoo artist. And I think not everyone realizes that.
Yeah. We're talking with Olivia Steele, who is with Arts Altoona, and Donna Gordy. And we'll have Donna recap some of the things that are coming up with Arts Altoona when we get back. And we'll find out more about Ms. Steele. And aside from the tattoos and the art, it's just, I thought it was an interesting thing since it's just the art behind it has a little more thought than I think people give it credit for. We'll continue, and if you have any questions, 946-0435, Talk Radio 98.5 WRTA.
Get on board, 946-0435. Your calls are next on Talk Radio 98.5 WRTA.
The car you love to drive, you get from 5-Star Mitsubishi Altoona. It doesn't get better than this.
February's here. It's 5-Star Mitsubishi Altoona's 28 days of savings. Over $3.25 million in discounts available now through February 28th on all new in-stock Mitsubishis. Save on every PHEV, Outlander, Eclipse Cross, Outlander Sport, Mirage, and G4. Mitsubishi carries the best warranty on the planet, and we offer the best buying and ownership experience you'll ever have. Mitsubishi, the premium brand without the premium price. 28 days of savings, millions in discounts. Get your share now. No one stocks more, no one sells for less. Only at 5-Star Mitsubishi Altoona.
You know that you love to drive the car that you can buy from 5-Star Mitsubishi Altoona. It doesn't get better than this.
See dealer for current deals and exclusions.
Youth sports builds character, strength, and a desire to be better. Young boys and girls stepping onto the field or court are eager to do well and should be acknowledged when they do. WRTA is proud to announce the ARC Federal Credit Union Youth Sports Star of the Week. To nominate, just email your child's name, age, and town with his or her accomplishment, big or small, to yssow2019@gmail.com or call 943-6112. We'll then announce the winner of the ARC Youth Sports Star throughout the week. Show that young competitor that hard work and their best effort does come with rewards, and watch their excitement when they hear their name announced on WRTA and when they receive their award. Email yssow2019@gmail.com or call 943-6112 today. It's the ARC Federal Credit Union Youth Sports Star of the Week.
Speak freely in our parlor. Talk Radio 98.5 and 1240 WRTA.
Podcast of this program up later today at WRTA.com, and also we'll put a link on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WRTA Doug. ArtsAltoona.org is the address for Arts Altoona. Donna Gordy is with us, and the guest today, Olivia Steele, artist as well. And Donna, what do you have coming up with some of the Arts Altoona events?
Well, one of the reasons that I invited Olivia here today is that she has been involved in creating art at the Arts Altoona Center. I think people are aware now that we have the big mural along 23rd Street that Pam Snyder-Edders and a friend of hers created for us. But Olivia is in the process of doing one on the back of the education building. There had been a mural there for a long time that was deteriorating, had been put in place back when it was the Simpson Temple United Parish. And so we painted it over, and Olivia has sketched out a really cool mural exemplifying all kinds of arts vehicles, and is in process of doing that. The weather has impeded her a bit. She really doesn't want to be out there when it's 20 degrees, and the paint doesn't want to be out there being applied at that degree either. But we have a paint party coming up. It's being billed as a Mommy and Me, but I think we're open to Daddy and Me, or even a pair of friends coming to it potentially. It's going to be in the lower level of the education building where the learning pods take place. So we have 15 different tables, and each pair of people coming, they register as a pair. Each pair will have their own tables, and they're going to be doing a piece of, I think, spring-oriented art, and Olivia can follow up, but it's taking place on March 6th. from noon to 2. That's a Saturday. And people, it's now up on our Facebook page and our, I believe, on our website. So people can register for that and participate. So we'll go back to Olivia, and she can give some more details about that, perhaps.
Just a note, on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WRTA Doug, as well as the Arts Altoona one, there's a photo of Olivia working on the mural that's on the back. And most people would not see it unless they go to an event there at the Arts Altoona building, or they go through the alley there. But you will see all of that when you just go around the corner of the building there where the big mural on the side is.
Right. Adjoining the parking lot area. Right. Thank you, Doug.
Olivia, what is it like to try to look at that as a blank canvas?
It was really neat. So George Sackendy from Arts Altoona had come to me right about a little after I started with the Learning Pods and had said, we want to do a mural out there. Could you help us come up with something? And I really wanted to reflect all of the arts, because to me, art is drawing and painting is mostly what I do. But I also think that reading can be art, and writing is art, and theater and dance and music and photography and everything like that. So I wanted to kind of bring that all together, because Arts Altoona, I think, can be any type of art that people imagine. I mean, even to me, architecture and interior design can be a type of art. So I really wanted to encompass just Arts Altoona in in the mural, and it's huge. It's the biggest thing I've ever done, which is even cooler. So I had sketched it all out a few times. The first time I actually realized that I was missing 6 feet in the sketch, so I had to completely start over. That was not my finest moment, but it ended up being a blessing, because I added so much more stuff to it, and it really ended up flowing so much better than the original one. It's been so fun working on it outside until it was 20 degrees outside, then it's not so fun. So I haven't been able to work on it. But right now it's in the phases of just putting, I did all of the outlining in one night because I needed a projector to show onto the wall.
Oh, and that's how you do it. That's cool.
Yeah, it was pretty actually easy. It took me 45 minutes, but I had to wait until it was nighttime because I couldn't see it otherwise. So I also waitress at night. So I hurried up over here after I waitressed for a night and sketched it all out and then went home. So it wasn't awful. But painting it, everything takes a few coats because it's a textured block wall. But it's been fun. It's been so cool to be able to do something so big, and that so many people can see it. I've had the neighbors that live across the alley come and talk to me and just be like, wow, I can see this out my kitchen window. It looks so neat. And it's not just, I usually do my drawings in a realism type of way, so it looks more realistic. So it was neat to be able to do a cartoon type of look almost, instead of something that's so realistic. So it really took me out of my typical boundaries, and it's so fun. I love working on it. I can't wait until it's nice out again so I can actually work on it again, but it's been neat. It's been really cool.
Well, look out a kitchen window. It's got to be a lot better than just seeing the side of a building.
Absolutely. That's what I told them. And they were like, yeah, we love this. And I was like, good, because it's hopefully going to be here for a while. So.
Yeah. Well, now, you said there was a mural there before. That was from Simpson Temple days, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was, it's not that it was a bad mural or anything, but you could tell that it was older and faded, and so this one brings a lot more color to the building, in my opinion.
Yeah, and maybe reflects its mission now as opposed to before.
Yes, absolutely.
How long can something like this last?
I honestly am not 100% sure. I have never done an outdoor mural before. I do know that there's a top coat that you put on it. Pam, who did the other mural, has walked me through that, and I know if there's anything that I do have a question about that I'd be able to ask her, and she would be more than happy to help me out. But this is the real first outdoor mural I've ever done on my own. So it's a learning process, to be honest.
Yeah.
But it's cool.
Well, Well, Pamela Snyder, editors, for those, if you haven't heard her before on Arts Altoona, or yes, she is also with the Altoona Symphony Orchestra, but she's done murals at many different places, not just for the Arts Altoona Center. So there's some background in doing all that. But, you know, I think about some of the murals that were done in my high school, which had been done by classes before me. So they were already maybe 10 years old by the time I was there. Now, it's been a few years since I've been there. I often wonder, since I've never been back to the building, you know, are they still there? Did somebody decide, okay, we're now in the 2000s. It's time to replace something that was done in 1975. Or, you know, it's because if you do the art, it's, you'd like to think it's a permanent thing, but when it comes to a mural like this on a building, you do wonder. It's like, with the, does it become a classic, or does it become something that's like, yeah, we need to update that? And also, how long it does last, like you said, it depends.
Right, absolutely. And I mean, I like to think of my art as something that could be permanent, but I know just from, I mean, I've drawn since I was a little kid. And I know, looking back at the stuff that I did in high school and the stuff that I did in college, even now I'm just like, okay, it's dated. Like, I can already tell how older it looks. And yeah. So I think I have a good perspective of art is typically not permanent, whether it is meant to last for 100 years or not. Eventually it's been around for long enough that everyone knows about it, and it's faded, and it's dated by the times or something like that. And so I'm not usually too picky of like getting rid of something. I know stuff that I've even drawn in high school, I'm like, I do not want this displayed anywhere. Like, I can do so much better.
Yeah.
I don't want this anywhere. And my mom is usually like, no, it's not going anywhere. So
that stays on the refrigerator. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I know for, like, even a few weeks ago, she has one of my old coloring book pages in a cookbook. And I was just like, okay, like, why do we need this stuff? And she's like, no, I like having it. But I am not a difficult person to get rid of my older stuff. So whenever the time comes and things do need covered up, it happens. And that's how life goes, you know. But I mean, if it needs touched up in the next 10 years and people still want it there, then great. I'll be happy to come in and touch it up and do whatever I got to do. But it stinks to see your artwork become dated, but it happens. It is what it is. People improve, and people, like, artwork gets better the more you practice it. So in 10 years, I could say, wow, I thought this mural was the best thing I've ever seen whenever I did it, but now I could do 100 times better. So it's different with the artist, I think, too, to see the stuff that you've dated and like done in the past and see, like, okay, this can go. It's fine. We can cover this up.
Dan, can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay, there you're on. You have a question for our guests.
Yes, Olivia. Hi, Olivia, Donna, and Doug. Now, Olivia, now, there's been several murals that have been painted, you know, on buildings throughout the years and everything. And, you know, the one that was real attractive, now it's gone now. They washed it off, but it was only on a short time. It was on that Wise Guy Pizza. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Dan, I'll just have you turn down your radio for a second. Yeah, the Wise Guy Pizza, that was a big deal about a year or so ago.
Yeah, was that the one with the, I can't remember what his name would be.
Say hello to my little pizza.
Yes, I do know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, and that thing, there was a lot of controversy about it, but whoever did that, that was going to stay a good while. That was going to stay a good while. It was put on there. It was put on there good and everything.
Right.
But it went out of business and everything.
Yeah.
And then they power washed that sucker, and it come right off.
Yeah.
It come right off. They must have put some kind of a lacquer on there. But during the controversy, they said it would power wash right off.
Yeah, well, which it did. Specific question, Dan?
That's the question.
About getting them off?
She. No. About preserving them.
Oh, okay.
About preserving them, and if she gets somebody, I know she's going to do extremely well just by listening to her. You know, she's just right into it and everything.
Yeah.
And you'll have to agree with that, Doug.
Yeah, I think so.
And everything. So, you know, when you do something like that, you said you had somebody in mind that's going to mentor you?
Mentor, yeah.
So I have another artist that would know, like she does more murals than I do. So she would better know exactly how to preserve them. And once mine is finished and it's ready to put a top coat type of thing that will hopefully keep weather elements from damaging it horribly, she's going to help me with it more towards the end of me painting it.
Okay, now, this one that you're going to construct now, is it going to be high? I mean,
it is ground level. It's right outside the entrance, like the office entrance of our building.
Yeah, so if you drive through the back alley, Dan, you would see it there.
Between 22nd and 23rd Streets, between 6th and 7th Avenues.
Okay, Dan?
Yeah,
you just go behind Simpson Temple, now the Arts Altoona Center, and you'll be able to see it there. Or just the side street, you'd be able to pick it up pretty well. Okay, Dan?
Thanks, Dan.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it. 946-0435, Talk Radio 98.5 WRTA. As I said, Donna Gordy and Olivia Steele. Donna, more about Arts Altoona you wanted to make mention of here?
Sure. I'll just be real quick. I know, Doug, that you interviewed Don Morden from the Brian Morden Foundation. They're doing a fundraiser coming up this weekend, and Arts Altoona has been a partner with them on that. Rachel Bites Cookies. It's a cookie decorating event, and people will be picking up picking up their cookies either at Borough Coffee tomorrow morning or at Arts Altoona tomorrow afternoon. And then we'll be logging on over the weekend at a certain time on the Zoom, and we'll be decorating our own cookies at home. So that sounds like fun. We have in the works at the Arts Altoona Center a paint and sip for adults. I mentioned the Mommy and Me that's coming up with a specific date. And we're also talking about having a cigar rolling and whiskey event for adults as well, obviously, and so forth. And we do still, I mentioned that Olivia is our staff person in the learning pods. We do still have openings in the learning pods. So maybe Olivia could tell us a little bit more about how those days go. And wouldn't you like to have your young people come and work with Olivia at the learning pods?
Yeah, what is that, Olivia?
Okay, so we have in the basement of our office building is we have a full kitchen and everything like that, so students can come in and they usually put their lunch in the refrigerator. But each child has, it's taped out on the floor, so they have a square saying that that's 6 feet apart from the next student. They all get a table that's marked with their name, so everyone is in their own seat every day. But it's just a safe environment for parents who work full-time or like work some days that they don't want their child home alone, but they don't have care to send them to or something like that, that they can bring their child here for the day or for the week or something like that. So I can monitor to make sure they're on their Zoom classes, their homework's done. And then we do have art supplies like paints and colored pencils, and they all get their own sketchbook. So whenever they're not in class or eating their lunch, pretty much that they have more of an artistic outlet as well. That way they're not just home playing video games all the time. I have right now, Altoona went back to hybrid. So a lot of my students are here every other day instead of every day because they just were virtual. They went back hybrid this week. But I do have elementary students. We start in second grade just because we don't really have the area or the things needed for what we think would be like a good for kindergarten and first graders. And then I have as old as sixth graders, but we'll take older students as well. But it's a nice environment. The kids get along, and it's nice that they have a safe place to go while their parents are at work all day. And they drop off at 7:15 is the earliest, and 3:15 is the latest for pickup. But it's a good group of kids. They get their work done. Everyone's type usually in Zoom meetings at different times. So I usually have to be like, okay, we can talk, but we have to whisper because so-and-so is in one Zoom meeting and I know you're in a Zoom meeting next. So it has a lot of different age groups and that type of thing, but they're good kids. They enjoy what they do. And like whenever they're not in class, we have projects for them and whatever else they need.
And hopefully they don't have the cat filter stuck on.
Exactly.
How many kids again can be a part of this at any one time? What's your capacity?
We can have up to 15 a day. So okay. We have 15 tables and 15 spaces that they would be socially distanced at.
And what is it that people have to do to have their kids or look into this? What can families do?
If you go to our website or our Facebook page, you can look it up there, or you can email us at info@artsaltoona.org. And we have 3 different people, I believe, that get the emails from them, so we could give you more information that way as well.
And cost for this?
It's $20 a day. We do offer some students a scholarship, so they would be $10 a day. I don't know off the top of my head what the exact paperwork that we would need for that is, but if you emailed us, it would be like other people would have the information.
Hey, get all the information you need by doing that.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Well, we have to take a break here. We have one more segment on the air. Olivia, would you be able to stay after 12 noon and do an extra segment with us that'll be on the podcast?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And we'll be talking with Donna Gordy as well when we get back on the 11th hour, talking with the folks from Arts Altoona.
The opinions you hear on WRTA are the hosts, callers, and guests, and are not necessarily those of the station, its management, or advertisers.
Come celebrate President's Day at Patterson Automotive. February 12th through the 15th, all military and civil servants will get $500 toward a new or pre-owned vehicle at Dean Patterson. Choose from Mazda, Hyundai, Chevrolet, and Cadillac. If you're a military or civil servant, Dean Patterson will give you $500 toward a new or pre-owned vehicle. From service to sales, you're our Patterson priority, just like a commander-in-chief. It's the President's Day event, February 12th through the 15th at Patterson Automotive, 101 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
It's a brand new year, and Herbal Equipment and Distribution would like to help you with your New Year's resolutions. Now, repeat after me. I resolve to visit Herbal Equipment and Distribution at their Altoona or Tyrone locations often. I resolve to browse their selection of CBD products like capsules, candies and gummies, teas, their variety of kratom products, hemp products, and their great selection of vapes and vape accessories. I resolve to also check out Herbal Equipment and Distribution's line of accessories, along with both American and import glass, like pipes and nectar collectors. I resolve to shop online when I can't get to one of Herbal Equipment and Distribution stores. I'll go to herbalequipment.com for easy and convenient ordering. And finally, I resolve not to break any of these resolutions to help make this a great new year. Herbal Equipment and Distribution, with 2 locations, 222 West Plank Road, Altoona, and 5523 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in Tyrone.
This week's ARC Federal Credit Union U Sports Star of the Week is third grader Wyatt Evans from Bellwood. Wyatt recently made a buzzer beater for the win during his team's basketball game in the Blair Rec League. Way to focus, Wyatt. If you'd like to nominate an ARC U Sports Star of the Week, email YSSOW2019@gmail.com or call 943-6112 weekdays. It's the ARC Federal Credit Union U Sports Star of the Week, with special thanks to the award man on East Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
Central PA's beacon of truth. Talk Radio 98.5 and 1240 WRTA.
It's the 11th hour. Doug Herendeen will have a podcast of the program up later today at WRTA.com and Facebook.com/WRTA Doug. From Arts Altoona, we have Donna Gordy and the guest artist today, Olivia Steele. And Donna, do you have any final things you wanted to, we wanted to make sure to protect the time here mentioned for Arts Altoona?
Sure. Just very quickly, we've mentioned before the Arts Altoona Facebook page and website at artsaltoona.org. We have a new specific Facebook page and website for the Arts Altoona Center. So it's just those words together, archaltunacenter.org. So that will exemplify all of the things that Arch Altoona is putting on at the center, or if people are renting the center for public events, those will be on that site. They'll be on our regular Arch Altoona site as well, but the center is center specific, you might figure. So I just wanted to draw attention to those. They're both to some degree works in progress, but they are up and available to the public at this point.
All right.
Thank
so you. If you think you like the page already, there may be a there's a sister page to that that you can also like if you want to follow that on
Correct.
Facebook and the website as well. Talking yep. with Olivia Steele here, I was going to ask if you don't mind, how old are you?
I'm 25.
Okay, because we were talking about looking at art that you've done when you were younger and then looking at art now and thinking into the future. I don't know if you ever noticed the, I would imagine, certainly being an artist that you have, the murals at the Altoona Post Office. Those, I think, are from the late 1930s or something. So you talk about something that's been there for some time. When you think, I mean, you can't know yet how you're going to think, but when you look ahead, say maybe 20 years from now, you look back on something that you've done as an adult, how do you think you'll take that?
I don't know. I have had, so I really enjoy drawing pastries. So I've drawn waffles and pancakes.
Yeah,
and
I was going to ask, what is the deal with the donuts, by the way?
I like the textures. I draw like pizzas. I love drawing food. There's something about the textures of it that I really enjoy. So that's probably my thing. That's like the fun type of stuff that I do to like de-stress and that type of thing. I don't know what it is. I don't know why, but I started it when I was in high school. And, I remember my first donuts that I drew. I was like, this is so cool. I did so good. I'm going to love this forever. And it's hanging in my dad's kitchen now. And every time I walk into his house, I'm just like, okay, that looks awful. Like, how did I ever think that that was good? But at the time, I remember the home ec teacher was like, oh, like, can I buy that from you? Can I hang it at my classroom? And I was like, no, I'm going to keep this forever because it's the coolest thing I'll ever do. And now I draw donuts all the time. And I'm like, okay, those first ones that I did don't even compare to what I did, like what I'm doing now. And so I don't know. I always think whenever I'm drawing it that I'm going to think it's so cool. But then it could be even a few months later that I'm just like, okay, why did I think this was so cool as like I did back then?
But
I don't know. I like to think that I'll like my stuff forever, but I usually don't.
Yeah, but we should point out, and I didn't see the original, but some of the stuff I found of yours online, the donuts are pretty photorealistic. They're painted, but they look like almost a photograph of some pretty impressive donuts. And you think, I can feel the calories from here.
Yeah. I think it started back in high school. I used to bring a donut to school like probably every day. Like and art was my first period class. I went to Hollidaysburg, and I remember I would show up and I would have a donut, and I'd be like almost late to homeroom, and my teacher would be like, Olivia, how can you get a donut but you can't be on time for class? And I'm just like, priorities, that's what. Like, I need a donut in the morning. I'll be late for school if that's the case. And I think that's how it started. And now I do them just for fun. I'm doing like a really big one that's like 3 feet by 2 feet. Like long and wide. And I don't know what it is.
So
people make fun of me all the time. Like my friends in college were like, can you do anything else? And I'm like, I can, I just don't want to.
Well, to any area bakeries that don't have a decent illustration of a donut, may I suggest Ms. Steele, and you can contact her through her Facebook page or through Arts Altoona.
Absolutely.
In the time we have left, which is about a minute and a half here, what advice would you have to somebody who wants to be an artist, no matter what age they are?
My biggest advice is to actually just believe that you can do it, because going into college for an art degree, a lot of people still to this day say, what are you ever going to do with that? Why would you do that? Go for something reasonable. And just put it to the side. If you believe in yourself, then you can do it. And it took me a long time to, I think, build that confidence. Even whenever I was in college, it was hard because I would constantly hear the discouraging comments of, I'm never going to make money with this. And I think the fact is, especially after COVID, everyone wants to support the small business person. And you just have to believe that you actually can do it, because if you think that you can't and you like you listen to the people that tell you you can't, then you're never going to. So it's finding what you enjoy and just finding a way that people enjoy it too. And again, you can do anything that you think you can do, and don't listen to the people that say that you can't.
Olivia Steele from Hollidaysburg, and also we should point out a degree at Indiana University in Art Studio Master, so she knows from whence she speaks. And you're working on a new website. We'll post that when that's ready. And
perfect.
She's going to join us for an additional segment that you'll hear on the podcast. Donna Gordy from Arts Altoona, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. And like I said, we'll have the podcast up later today at WRTA.com, the new one, and also Facebook.com/WRTA Doug. You started out, you're from Hollidaysburg?
Yes, I grew up in Hollidaysburg. I went to elementary school through high school there. I now live in Patton, Pennsylvania.
And what made you first interested in art?
I didn't find this out until I was older, but my mom's mom actually went to college for art, and my grandma, who's my dad's mom, also, she is actually the one who really got me started in art. So every Tuesday, we would go out to Greenwood, and there was a ceramics shop out there. And it was really just a bunch of, like, older women who were retired and wanted to paint. So they would go out and paint ceramics my grandma went every Tuesday. So whenever I got old enough, she'd take me with her, and I'd paint with her every Tuesday. So I think part of that was what really got me into it was learning from my grandma, and now a lot of the things that I like, I draw them a certain way because she's the one that told me to. But I always, whenever I was a kid, I was always that kid that wanted an easel and crayons and coloring books, and I was never that kid that was completely into video games. I liked coloring, so it was just something that I've always done, I guess.
Well, there's a difference between interest and aptitude.
Yes,
because anyway, I mean, the kids should try a multiple of things, and if they can actually do it or they can actually pursue something, that's fine. But you actually had the aptitude to keep going with it. I mean, eventually to the point where you were going to college for it. What is on your bio list, Art Studio Master? What does exactly that type of degree mean?
So I know it's this way at IUP at least, that whenever you go into the arts major, there is art history, there's art education, which is going to be a teacher, and then there's art studio. So art education focuses you more on, you take some like painting, drawing, sculpture, whatever classes, but then you also take education classes to be a teacher. Art history, you take a lot of the history classes along with some studio classes. For a studio track, you take a lot of only like hands-on art classes. So it's kind of weird because I remember in college I took an art painting class. I took it 5 times, but I got credits for it every single time, because every single time I would take it, the professor expected more of me and to help me less. So it was kind of different than any other major, because any other major you just keep working up in the level of classes, but for art you keep taking the same classes over and over. So basically I took the major of, I didn't want to be a teacher. I had really no desire to try and teach anyone what I do, and so I wanted to be able to do something that's like on my own, and so that's why I took the studio track of the art building classes, I guess, because it made more sense to me to eventually want to get into like advertising or something like that than being a teacher.
Even in a case like that where you started doing something more and you say there was a pressure to do more each time, and I can sort of understand that, but when you do art, I mean, you have fun doing donuts.
Yes.
All right. Not everybody does that. They may pick something else, whether it's, I don't know, a certain type of animal or vehicles or whatever that
right.
they wish to specialize. Is there a lot of pressure to, you know, nobody else is doing this, why don't you just do this more conventional thing instead?
Trust me, I've gotten that a million times. Some of my friends in college would be like, okay, we get that you like donuts, but do something different. Like, other people want to see this. And, I mean, I do other things, and that's different. It's not that I never do. But I also know that if you stick to something, like, the more you stick to it and you grow in it, the more likely you're going to find someone that wants it. So if I just did donuts and then I did them in high school and then I stopped doing them, I wouldn't be nearly as good at drawing them as I am now. And the better I get, the more interest I get as well. So even though other people may think like, well, I don't want a donut hanging on my wall, there's typically someone out there that does. And it may take a long time to find them, but I have never been a person that I settle for what everyone else wants me to do. I've always wanted to do my own thing, so I just kind of ignore it typically. And like I said, I will do other things, but if it's something that even I'm just doing for myself and it helps me as a stress reliever and eventually I can make money off of it, then great. But to me, it's art shouldn't be what everyone else wants you to do. It should be what you want to do.
Well, this is something you sort of mentioned this through the earlier conversation, but the thing I've noticed, I mean, if you're doing art and you're doing it for your own enjoyment, that's one thing. If you're an illustrator and somebody says, I want you to do an illustration of this particular model car and I'm going to use it in this commercial way, so it has to be this. Okay, well, fine, that's a commission and you're doing it to make money and to live. But if you're doing art for yourself and you don't like painting cars, why would you do that?
Right, absolutely. And just because I can do it doesn't mean I enjoy doing it. So I'm really good at having different, like my handwriting and making signs and that type of stuff. I can do it. I'm good at it. I know I'm good at it. And so like my best friend from college had a baby shower 2 or 3 weeks ago. So my other best friend who was planning it had asked me, can you make the welcome sign? And of course I made it. Absolutely. I know that I could. I knew that it would look good. But I don't genuinely enjoy it to make a shop out of it or to make a career out of it. So just because I can do it and I will do it if someone asks me doesn't mean it's something that I want to pursue for the rest of my life. Yeah. So I think it can be a balance of finding what I want to do and what I like to do and what other people like. And so I try to do both so I can make the money and I can live off of it, but I can also still enjoy and not totally hate what I'm doing.
Yeah. Oh, and using your talent for a friend for a gift, that's something different than, hi, this is your job. You have to, like, I don't know, the people that used to illustrate album covers when album covers were much larger. The first time vinyl was around and it was an art, many of them did outstanding work and it's memorable, you know, 50, 60 years later. But, you know, it maybe it wasn't something they wanted to do. They do that for a living. Then they go off and either paint donuts or cars or horses, whatever they want to do. And that's how they sustain being fresh in their artistic endeavors.
Right. And I honestly think, too, if you're doing something that you love, you're going to be more successful at it than if you're doing something you hate. So even at the beginning of COVID, I started selling these little like cartoon version of people would send me a photo and then I'd make it into like a cartoon character type of look. And I was making decent money off of it, but I hated it. After like the 50th one that I did, I was just like, I don't want to do these anymore. And so I'll do them occasionally if someone asks me to, but I was really just starting to be miserable and not wanting to draw anything. So because I had taken on so much of what I hated, it was hard for me to even do what I enjoyed because all of my free time was going toward this art that I didn't enjoy. And so in my other free time, I didn't want to do art that I even did enjoy. So it's all about balance. I mean, you're always going to get the people that are like, why are you trying to sell something that no one likes? And it goes back to just because you don't like it doesn't mean no one else does type of thing.
Well, there are people that have recorded music, for example, that is very commercial and they've been very successful. Then later they'll put out an album that just tanks as far as the charts, but it's what they wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Or the actor that does what they can call a vanity movie because they did some blockbuster. It's like, okay, to make him happy and make her happy, we'll let them do this other movie, which we know is going to tank at the box office, but it's a piece of art they wanted to do.
Yep. It's all about balance, I think. Making other people happy and making yourself happy.
Considering you said you did not want to be an art educator, you decided that was not for you. How important do you think art education is, though, considering you're somebody that thinks about art a great deal?
I think it is so important. I love that Arts Altoona is really growing, because I love the idea of having art programs for kids, especially since so much funding has been cut in the past, and who knows what'll happen once schools are really back, and you just never know. And I grew up always being able to take art classes, going to Hollidaysburg. Shout out to Alicia Watt, because she is phenomenal. But she, like, for me, I don't think I would have ever gone in the direction that I did if it wasn't for my art education. I never would have even pursued art in college if it wasn't for my high school art teacher. So for me, for kids to not have that, even just as an outlet, I mean, they consider sports to be an outlet. Like, if I know people that are often considered very aggressive or that type of thing, they'll say, okay, how about you go into wrestling or boxing or that type of thing, where it's safer for you to get your aggression out. And a lot of people, I think, that have anxiety and that type of thing, art can be a huge outlet for them, whether it's drawing or painting or writing or photography or whatever it is. It's a very important thing to have, even if you don't want it to be a skill that you have and go into a career with it. It's just something that, I mean, math and science and all of that is so important, obviously, but so is having a creative outlet. And for kids to be able to imagine what they're putting on paper and what they're writing. And I think we're in a digital age that takes away a lot of creativity purposes. I mean, it can grow them in a lot of ways too, with digital art and everything. But I just think there's a different thought process with the generation that's growing up now. And so I think having that time of being like, you know what, put your phone away, put your paper or get paper out, and it's time to just think in your mind of what can be done. And so I think it's a huge thing. I would absolutely do anything to continue supporting and having money given to high schools for art classes and music classes.
Not that I'm saying that it should be something that every student should do in other classes, but I'm sure that you were told in more than one class that was not art, when you're doodling away in the notebook, when you're supposedly in social studies, whatever, put that away or I'll take it.
Yep.
How many future artists do you figure were just sort of discouraged from continuing because of that?
Probably a lot, because, I mean, I was that kid that I had. If I had a book cover on one of my school books, it was always paper so that I could draw on it. I was always that person. So I would assume a lot. It is kind of funny that you say that, though, because I have read a study that actually, if you're doodling something while you should be writing notes, sometimes your brain actually, if you have an artistic mind, sometimes your brain will retain that information more because you're listening to it, but you're focusing on, it's almost not selective hearing isn't the right word, but multitasking, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Sometimes that can actually help creative minds to retain more information. So it's kind of funny.
You talked earlier about having an art studio at home. If somebody is looking to get into this, you don't have to have a fully stocked studio. You can start small, right?
Oh, yeah. Mine is actually, so we have across my driveway, my stepdad has, we call it a barn, but it's really just a giant garage where he has a workbench and his truck and a bunch of other adult toys like snowmobiles and stuff that he keeps in there. But the upstairs of it is it's a lot of storage from whenever I moved home from college, but also I have a desk, a few tables. I have paints and I have so much stuff up there that I haven't touched in years because I work with colored pencils. So of everything that I have, I touch maybe 10% of it. It is what I actually use. So you do not need a fully stocked studio. I like having my studio because it's a space to work that isn't my bedroom floor. But I used to work on my bedroom floor. Sometimes I still draw while I'm sitting in bed because I don't want to go up to my studio. So you do not need a fully stocked studio to be able to create. You can do it on a coffee table.
I don't know, because I think some people get the idea if they're going to be serious about it, they have to go out and get all the accoutrements. And, of course, that's just a waste of money if you don't know what you're going to do with it.
Yep. Totally agree. I actually am in the process. On my website, I want to sell stickers and hoodies and T-shirts of the things that I'm drawing. And my boyfriend just said to me, like, well, instead of ordering the stickers and the vinyls and stuff like that, why not just get a machine that prints them for you? And I said, yeah, that's a great idea, and I want to do that. But I want to figure out how I'm doing it and how much money I can make first before I drop hundreds of dollars on equipment that I might not ever need. And so it's one thing to figure out, like, okay, I like coloring more than painting, and I like doing this more than this. And then you can get the tools that you need to be able to do that. But to just go out and spend a bunch of money on something that you might not necessarily need, I just don't think it's worth it.
Yeah, well, you know, again, some people could probably start actually doing decent art with notebook paper and a pencil, like you say.
Absolutely.
The typical stereotypical thing is like, okay, I got to go out and get the easel. I got to get this. I got to get all the paints, and then you don't even know what you're doing with it. Work up.
Yeah. And if you like painting, I still buy the paints that are 50 cents at Walmart. I am not picky about that type of stuff. And I mean, if you're like a professional artist, obviously you want the more expensive stuff. But to just find and get started. I used to paint at my grandma's coffee table every single day. I destroyed her coffee table. It's covered in paint stains. The actual stain of the wood was faded off because I had so many different projects in it. Now the coffee table is actually in my art studio, but it's totally fine to work at a coffee table and sit on the floor in front of your TV because I did it for the first 20 years of my life before I had a studio.
Where can people find your art online? I understand you're setting up a new website soon.
Yes. So I'm really bad at posting on my Instagram, but it's just at Livs Artworks, LIVS, and then Artworks. Again, I am so bad at posting on it. My tentative goal to have my website up and running is March 1st. So right now it's under a different domain because I have to buy my domain from the website. But I'm going to buy it before my website is live, and it'll be livsartworks.com. Again, that's a tentative date because I need to make sure I scan everything into my computer and get stickers and everything ordered. But that is my goal, is no later than the first week of March. Hopefully March 1st will be my launch date. But Livs Artwork is a good place to start. I just need to really be better at posting.